Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Put your hands together for Jesus. For Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, please shut your eyes. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, I bow my knee before you. My God, my Daddy, my everything, my all in all, my Creator. Oh, Almighty God, you are everything. Oh, Lord, we honor you. We worship you. Father, I pray, Lord God, this morning that your word would go forth, that your word, that your heart would be heard by our hearts. And Holy Spirit of truth, I pray that you would reveal the truth to each one of us. Because I thank you, Lord, that it's the truth that sets us free. Father, we give you all the glory and praise forever and ever. And everyone said, amen. Hallelujah. Put your hands together one more time for Jesus as you take your seats. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I think one of the things that every single one of us has in common is that we go through stuff. How many of you go through stuff? How many of you're going through something right now? There's a battle that you're right in the middle of, some sort of battle. It could be health, financial, friends, family, marriage. Put your hand down, my love. You know, that there's stuff, isn't there, that we go through? We go through trials, tribulations. You know, and the honest truth is that it's the stuff, it's the trials, it's the tribulations that make us the person that God wants us to be. You know, I love that scripture. I mean, I first learned it. My husband can just read the Bible and then he remembers it. I mean, yeah, Pastor Tammy just said amazing. I don't know how it is. He says, I've never done what you do. He sees me going, and I remember my God will supply all my needs according. Oh, no, it didn't say that. What does it say again? And my God will supply all my needs. And he's like, what are you doing, my love? And I'm learning the words. He says, well, I've never done that in my life. Well, thou art blessed. But I remember age 15 learning James chapter 1 and verse 2 where it says, there is therefore now no temptation. There is therefore now. No. Consider it pure joy, my brothers. Whenever you face trials of many kinds, consider it pure joy. Are you hearing me? I learned that age 15. So I've known that since I was 15. And I still struggle with the joy bit in the trial. How many of you know what I'm saying? But the Bible says us to consider. In other words, it doesn't say feel joy. It says, count it joy. Make a deliberate decision to set your face like flint. That you know what? This might be tough, but I'm coming out the other side. When I'm out the other side, I'm going to rejoice. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Well, this message is for you. If you have anything that you need to break through in, if you have any faith goal, if you're going through any trial or tribulation or struggle, this message is for you. Turn to your neighbor and say, that means it's for you. Hallelujah. I'm going to read from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and I'm going to read just a few verses starting at verse 13. Now, this was a time in Israel's history where Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. And a massive army was gathering to attack that nation. A massive army of Syrians. These people were more numerous than them. They were more powerful than them. They were better equipped than them. And this army was coming in their hordes towards Judah. And we're going to pick up the story at verse 13, where it says, so they know the armies are coming, they've prayed, and then verse 13 it says, now all Judah with their little ones, their wives and their children stood before the Lord. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jael. I don't like these lists of names because I'm sure I'm getting some wrong. But anyway, the son of someone else, a Levite. I'm all right with Levite. Of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. And he said, listen, all you of Judah and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness. You will not need to fight in this battle. Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you. One more verse, and it's halfway down. Verse 20, it says, believe in the Lord, your God, and you shall be established. This was one of the most challenging points in King Jehoshaphat's life and ministry. He was faced by an army that in the arm of the flesh, he could do nothing about. I want to give you three keys this morning about how to get your breakthrough through faith. How to really come out the other side of a raging battle or of a challenge that you cannot handle in the flesh. There are some challenges we go through and we can rely on the arm of the flesh. You know, but the ones where we really get to learn is when we can do nothing about it ourselves. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, and what was the first thing that King Jehoshaphat did? You see, he prayed, he got before God, and then with the people, what a great leader. Because he didn't panic. He didn't, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We need a plan, someone. You know, where's plan B? I mean, we haven't got plan A, so let's find plan B, C, D, E. You know, many of us were like that, aren't we? Stuff happens, and we're already thinking about how on earth am I going to handle this one? You know, he didn't do that. He prayed, and then together with the people, he exuded confidence in God, and he stood and waited for the answer of the Lord. The first thing that you absolutely must have in any struggle that you're facing, in any challenge where you need a breakthrough, in any area of your life, you have to have chapter and verse. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You know, it's no good just knowing, well, I know it's God's will, and I know that he's going to help me, and I know he's going to come through. The first thing that Jehoshaphat got from God was a word. Are you hearing? You're not going to have to fight this battle. Listen, don't forget, there were other times in Israel's history where God said, right, I'm going to use 300 men. You're going to go fight. Are you hearing? There is a different word that God wants to give you every time. The word he gave you last time you faced a trial is not necessarily the word he's going to give you this time. But whatever you're going through, whatever area in your life that you need transformation, you need change, you need breakthrough, step one, say step one. Ladies, it's not getting on the blower to your mates, to your friends. Are you hearing me? He's having fun this morning. You know, everyone else tells me when I'm away, he misses me. But all I get when I'm back is just, you know, all the fun begins again, you know, at my expense. I think he just finds me, you know, it's like a puppy. You know, a puppy that catches a butterfly and it's just like patting away at that. And I'm like, my love, remember, I'm a butterfly. Anyway, the first thing you need is God's word. God gave Jehoshaphat a word. He said, you're not going to have to fight in this battle. He said, position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I want to encourage you this morning, do not face any fight without God's word. You know, we can be sure that God's going to come through. But let me tell you the difference. When you get God's word, I remember the day that we first stepped foot in the house that we now live in. And we walked through the front door of that home. And something on the inside of me just said, I'm coming home. It just felt like mine. I mean, my amazing husband didn't like it, didn't like the front door in particular. And he still doesn't like the front door, no. But I just walked in and thought, I've come home, this is mine. But that wasn't enough, are you hearing me? It wasn't enough to just sense very strongly, this is home. I needed God's word. And he gave me his word. I went to prayer, I said, Lord, if this is my place, speak to me. And the word he gave me, I was surprised. It wasn't, you know, what I was expecting. He said, no man shall covet your land. I was like, okay, Lord. Well, guess what battle we fought? You see, our buyers kept wanting to pull out, so there were delays. And so the house we were buying, we needed no one to covet our land. Are you hearing me? So what did we do for 6 months with delay upon delay? I just said, Lord, if I heard you and that's mine, no man will covet my land. No man will covet my land. No man will covet. Are you hearing? When you get the word, when you've got God's word in it, you can stand on the word. You can't stand on a feeling. You can't stand on what you sense. We need to be led by the Spirit of God, but you can't stand on it. That what you've dreamt at night, you can't stand on a dream. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You can stand on God's word. You can pray God's word. You can declare God's word. You can believe God's word. And God's word never fails. Hallelujah. You know how many houses we looked at? Do you know? One. One house. Think of all the time God saved us. Because we had God's word. Whatever you're facing, you need to leave this place immediately. And if you haven't yet got God's word, get it. Amen? Amen. So I said there were three steps that I'm going to share with you, three keys that are going to help. The second, you see, what does it say about faith in Romans 10 verse 9? If you can pop that up, please, Gifty. Romans 10 verse 9 tells us that with the mouth we confess, but with the heart we believe. So faith is of the heart. Say, faith is of the heart. So you see, in order for me to really be in faith concerning something, I've got to make sure is the place where that faith is going to cook. Is the place where God's word has to grow, is that place all right? Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, faith is of the heart. Now, I want you to just listen to what the word is to Jehoshaphat straight after he gets the main prophetic word that he has to stand on. Then listen to what God says to him. He says, do not be afraid nor dismayed. Now, I'm going to talk this morning very briefly about four particular heart conditions that will prevent any faith from being able to be effective in our hearts. Now, the first one most of us know about, and that's fear. But let me just remind you of this. You see, Jesus said when he was reaching out to people, when people came to him with sick children, and when they wanted their needs met, what do we always say? The first thing he would say is, do not fear. And then secondly, he would say, only believe. What's the point I'm making? You can't try and push faith on top of fear. You can't try and muster up believing in God when you're full of panic. You know, so often we think we're praying to God when actually we're panicking to him. Are you hearing me? Oh God, have you just seen that bill that landed on my doorstep? Oh my goodness, Lord, do you not care about me? What's the currency of heaven? Faith. So if I panic to God, I mean, God must sit there going, oh my goodness, here we go again. I love her anyway. He's the apple of my eye, but oh my goodness, do we have to go around this old mountain again? You know, we think we're the ones that go around the mountains. Imagine God. Oh, my goodness. Here she starts again. Gosh, angels, just back off a bit. We don't want the demons listening too much. I mean, that's a word for another day, but we've got to make sure that we deal with fear, that we don't allow it in our hearts. We deal with it. We get rid of it. And then from that, and how do you get rid of it? You rebuke it. Fear's not a feeling. Fear's not logical. Just yesterday when we were out for a walk and little Esther, suddenly, you know, there was loads of bounding big dogs all around and she started to panic. And the temptation is always when you see fear to try and use logic. Fear isn't rational. So don't try and reason with somebody who's afraid. Don't reason with yourself when you're afraid. Fear is a spirit. It's irrational. So what did I do? I said, pray after me, sweetheart. Amen. And I led her in prayer and I said, Father God, we rebuke fear. Lord, I drive it out my heart and I thank you that I can trust you, Lord God, because you're my daddy in heaven and you're with me right now in Jesus' name. And I said, do you feel better, sweetheart? She said, yes, go. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Deal with fear the right way. Hallelujah. Number two. What else does it say? It says, do not be afraid nor dismayed. This is an interesting word. Hebrew, it's hatat, and it means, listen to these words, beaten down, broken down, discouraged, shattered. One of the definitions of discouraged is made of no effect. So often when we're facing a trial and, you know, maybe you've been believing God and you know that he's called you to this nation and you've believing God for your papers to come through and then you get a letter on the doorstep. You see, we have a choice what we do with our emotions. Our emotions aren't supposed to be ruling us. We're supposed to be ruling them according to the book of Proverbs. And when that letter arrives, maybe it's an interview you've gone for, maybe it's been a health check, maybe it's just looking at the, you know, your bank account, maybe it's as you're watching the behavior of those that you love and the things that are all going horribly wrong in their lives. But you see, if we allow what we see to get us all crushed, all beaten down, oh my goodness, this is awful, it's so horrible, this is too difficult. You see, our heart isn't going to be in a place to be in faith. Oh my goodness, this is just so awful. Oh, you know, the news comes and it's like, oh no, oh my goodness. Oh, I just feel so discouraged. No, you see, we know what to do with discouragement. We've seen it again and again in Scripture, where when we are discouraged, we have a choice what we do with it. We need to speak to ourselves, just like David did, just like Deborah did. Just like every son and daughter of God who wants to live a victorious life, we've got to learn to talk ourselves happy again. Are you hearing me? You know, circumstances might be speaking really loudly, but then you say, do you know what? My God's bigger than you. Do you know what? I'll share my testimony at this point. Some of you know this. Who are the praying people in the house? Hallelujah. Thank you for your prayers. Those of you who have been praying for me over the last few weeks. We were in Denmark 2 weeks ago. And during that trip to Denmark, I was really struggling in the area of my health. And halfway through that weekend, I mean, I felt really, really unwell the whole time that we were ministering out there. God did awesome things. Healed for Life Denmark was glorious, and seeing the transformation in lives was amazing. Pastors down to new believers, I mean, just amazing. But I was feeling ill the whole way through, up at night coughing, and by about Saturday afternoon, I'd lost my voice. And I managed to sort of push my way through it on the final session on the Saturday. And then God did a miracle on Sunday morning where I literally took the microphone when I was introduced at a church where I was preaching. And when I took the microphone, I went, hallelujah. And I thought, oh, Lord, this is not good. You know, and then she's translating, hallelujah. And then I knelt down, and the moment I knelt down, a booming voice came out. And God, I had a voice for the next hour as I ministered, but then the moment the message finished, I had no voice. And I was voiceless for a week, which for me particularly, I mean, that's a journey. How many of you know? I mean, I love to talk. And Ruth was saying, I think the Lord just wants you quiet. I'm thinking, how dare you? Who are you to think I'm supposed to be quiet? I talk, that's what I do. You know, but so my voice was gone, and I started to just feel so discouraged by it. You know, I love to sing to the Lord. I was like, you see, God's not moved by us being pathetic. Is this all right for me to be real today? So I was being all pathetic on him, but God, you know, I love to worship you. I have no voice, Lord. You know, one thing I've noticed about my husband, he does not give me pity when I want it. Can someone just have a word with him? Pity the woman. You know, and you see, so there I was, feeling all discouraged, all down, you know, and praying, but, you know, this isn't fair. And anyway, the reason it was important is I was about to go to Dubai and preach to 2,000 people. So I needed a voice. Can you get my drift on this? So anyway, you know, I'd prayed and I knew God had said it's well. Got on the aeroplane on the way to Dubai, still just whispering, which I'm sure was delightful for everyone else. But, you know, I like to talk. And, you know, got on the aeroplane and I started to pray and I said, Lord, I need your word. Like I said, get God's word. And God gave me his word. And I'm sitting there and I'm realizing, do you know what? There's all this discouragement in my heart. And that's no good. And so I started to speak to myself. And I was saying, you've got to calm down, girl. I'm sitting on this flight. There's a lady beside me who looked really dignified beside me. And she was really one of those, she was very well dressed, very well made up. And I'm talking to myself, you know. or to be a bit more accurate, whispering to myself. But I just had to get on with it, you know. There I was. Anyway, so I'm on the flight and I'm saying, you need to calm down, Joe. You need to just sort out this discouragement. And then I started to think, and I realized this isn't right, you know. You know, when you see a negative pattern in your life, ask God about it. Are you listening to me? Yeah. When you see a pattern of the same issues coming up again and again, it's time to say, God, if all is well, then what the heck is going on? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And I looked and I suddenly realized, December, I got this awful fever while I was preaching in Ghana. January, I threw up suddenly and I was really unwell. February, I had a bad back for 2 weeks. And here I was in March and I was like, God, this isn't right. I said, Lord, what's the issue? And God started to speak to me. You see, as I said, faith is of the heart. And so I said, Lord, if faith's of the heart, then what's wrong in my heart? What's wrong on the inside of me that is somehow opening the door to all these different issues? And God started to speak to me. You see, you know what he showed me? I mentioned the first heart issue that I want to deal with is what? Fear. Say fear. Fear. The second, discouragement. Say discouragement. I said, Lord, what's the issue? Almost instantly, like God was waiting for me to ask. Have you ever noticed the times that heaven is literally waiting? Is she ever going to just ask me why? You know, and then God just said to me, and I saw it in front of me. He said, the moment sickness knocks on your door, self-pity opens. I was like, oh my Lord. And at first I'm feeling all right about this, thinking, well, you know, it's not nice being sick. So it's okay to feel sorry. You know, and then the conviction started to build because what God showed me is self-pity would open and go, it's not fair. Oh, you know, I remember when it hit a week before I went to Denmark. I was in the bedroom on Saturday afternoon about to preach Sunday morning. And then I felt something come and I went, oh no, not again. Listen. Whether it's a letter through the door for you, a phone call from a relative. What are the things that make you suddenly feel sorry for yourself? Self-pity will never create an atmosphere for faith. And God showed me literally that what would happen with me is sickness would knock at the door, self-pity would open, and pride would say, come on in. Why pride? Let me tell you what would happen with me. You see, with me, what it would be is, oh no, it's not fair, there's self-pity. Oh gosh, I don't want to be unwell. And then pride would go, oh well, you're a hero, Joe. Time to be a hero again. Really? Time to just fight on through. Time to prove the amazing strong woman that you are. Yes, you're going to preach tomorrow morning unwell, but you can do it because you're a hero. Yuck. And before I knew it, I'm sitting on this aeroplane just thinking, I so wish I was in business class. Let me tell you why. In business class, they have these lovely dividing walls. So you, the person beside you, can't see you. I'm like, God, why do we have these encounters on aeroplanes? It's like every time I go on a long-haul flight, I need a pack of tissues with me. I'm like, Lord, can we not pick church or my prayer closet at home instead? You know, oh, but no, with me, it's long-haul flights beside some random stranger who is wondering who on earth they sat beside that day. So the next thing I know, I'm sitting there, you know, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, Lord. Gosh, Lord, the self-pity is yuck enough, but the pride. And then I started to realize the times when I thought, wow, wasn't I great? Because I battled through. I'm like, God, I'm so sorry. And then I found this flap of hair, so useful. So I was pulling it right down. And I was thinking, at least she can't see my face. And I had a window seat, so I'm staring out the window. And then I noticed, like, you know, this water falling onto my Bible in front of me. I think she's going to know their tears. Oh, dear. Well, I can't do anything about them. What's the point I'm making? You see, there are certain heart attitudes that if we will allow them in there, they will not create an atmosphere for faith. I had to repent of self-pity and say, God, never again am I going to allow that to happen with your help. If sickness knocks at my door, I'm going to answer the door and I'm going to say, you get out, sickness, in Jesus' name. Are you hearing me? And you know what? I had to say, God, I'm so sorry. I'm no hero. You know, I'm the created and you're the creator. And I can do nothing without you, Lord God. I need to rely on you completely. You see, for me, it was that I wanted people to say, wow, isn't she amazing? I'm being honest with you. I would love that. People saying, wow, Joe, how'd you do it? You're not well and you know, you still manage to keep going and preach and minister. And I'd go, yeah, I know. Praise God anyway. You know, we say praise God anyway, but I was thinking, praise me anymore, a bit more, please. You know, but for you, it might not be that. You know, it's no different to the other side where we don't want anyone to know that we're struggling financially. Oh, no, I'm not going to share with anyone because this is my private area. It's pride, my brother, my sister. Whether the spirit of pride is saying, look at me, I'm great, or saying, don't look at me, it's all about me. We need to be so focused on Jesus that we don't mind whether, however we look. You know, and I was on that plane. It got silly by the end because I'm now, oh, well, you know, she's a sweet lady and we'll just leave her to it, you know. And I'm now on this point saying, God, I know why you chose me for this heart ministry. It's because I've got more issues in my heart than anyone else on planet Earth. Hallelujah. But you see, you've been wondering, why am I at this same old mountain again and again and again? I encourage you, look in your heart. Or rather, let me reframe that. Ask the Holy Spirit to shine his light into your heart and to show you the issues in your heart that are hindering your faith. Do you remember I explained one of those words for discouragement is it makes us of no effect. You know, we can't have pathetic responses to the circumstances of life because we'll just stay in a pit. Are you hearing me? You see, when I got God's word, when I repented, when I said, God, I'm so sorry, change my heart. Lord, take out all self-pity, take out all pride. Lord, I realize, you know, I'm a nobody who's called to carry somebody very special. You know, and when I got all that right, then do you know what? This peace reigned on the inside of me. I got off that flight in Dubai. I was still whispering, hello. Ah, yeah. And our hosts met us. And, you know, we decided that we needed to kind of play it down. Not mention that I hadn't had a voice for rather a long time. And so we just played it. Oh, you know what flights are like. I don't know if that one worked. But anyway, we just played it down. Oh, yeah, it'll be fine. And you know, I woke up on Saturday morning. I hadn't spoken for a week. And I woke up on Saturday morning, 2 hours before I was due to deliver the word of the Lord to women who were ready, who were waiting. And I opened my mouth and guess what came out? A voice. Hallelujah. 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 You see, God is the God who works with our faith. Every trial and test we go through. Listen, I would be lying if I were to say to you, I was glad my voice arrived on Saturday. I wanted it Friday. I wanted it Thursday. You know, I didn't want them to know I didn't have a voice. But you know, the sound people came to me at the end of the day, because at the end of the conference, right in the evening, I shared my testimony about my voice. I said, look, I hadn't told your pastors, but this is what God's done. And the sound people came up to me at the end and they said, wow. This woman said, I've been on sound all day. She said, I would never have known that you'd lost your voice. It didn't crack even once. You see, when we get out the way, when we say, God, whatever the pride is in my heart, Lord, get it out. Whatever self-pity or, you know, feeling sorry for myself that I'm doing, all these pity parties, poor me, all my sisters are getting jobs and I'm still stuck in the same old rut. I'm still stuck in the same old position. Everyone else is moving on and Do you know, if we instead say, I'm getting out of that place and I'm going to start to believe God, I'm going to put my eyes on him like Jehoshaphat did. Jehoshaphat, earlier in that chapter, he said right at the beginning when everything was building up around him, he said, my eyes are on you. You know, we can make a choice in the midst of those moments. I said there were three keys that I wanted to give you. And the third one comes out of the first two. And it's this, it's position yourself. Say position. 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 You see, we need to be in the right position for our breakthrough. Are you hearing me? You see, once we've got self-pity out, that's a huge one. Once we've got fear out, once we've stopped allowing our emotions to just run riot in our hearts and lives, and instead we've said, look, I'm not going to be discouraged. Listen, if God says, do not be dismayed, it's because it's a choice. He said the same to Joshua. Do you remember right at the beginning? Joshua, be bold, be courageous. He says, do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed. It's a choice. You see, once we've got all that stuff out of our hearts, once we've created the right environment for faith, that's when we need to position ourselves. And that position is that position of confidence. You know, I love the word believe. Say believe. Believe. I'm a believer. Say I'm a believer. I'm a believer. You know, you can be a Christian and not a believer. We need to be believers. A believer is someone who believes God. You know, and this word believe is a Hebrew word, aman, and it means to be firm, stable, firmly persuaded and assured. Wow. What a heart attitude that is. Let me tell you one of the ways you're going to know if you're in faith. Do you know, faith is a peaceful place to be. We can be in the middle of a war of faith and be at peace. Are you hearing me? If you've got no peace in about a certain area of your life, then you still need to get to that place of faith. Faith is when we know it's sorted. Faith is when we're assured. Faith is when I've got it. I remember the day that I received my children's school place for primary. And I remember the day that I just knew it was ours. And I was in faith, utter assurance. I knew that I knew that I knew it was ours. You see, faith is when we're assured. Too often we say we're in faith, but we're still in a sort of mixture of panic and hope. Are you hearing me? Listen, we need to get the panic out, get the fear out, get the pride out, get the discouragement out, give it all to God, have a good snotty ball in his presence if you have to, ladies. I think we cry a bit more than men mainly. But then get your heart clean and ready. And then that word that you got from him, do you remember I started by saying get God's word? Use that word to position yourself. Use that word to say, Lord, I'm going to believe you. God, I'm going to stand strong. You know, and this is where it's the fight of faith. Doesn't mean we're in a frenzy. Are you hearing me? So let me tell you from my own story. You know, Friday, every now and then a voice would say, what are you going to do if you've got no voice tomorrow? And I would deal with that voice. That's the fight, you see. The fight is where the enemy tries to throw doubts, where he tries to sow seeds of fear. You say, no. God said. God said. You see, once you've got God's word, you then use God's word as your shield. You hold up that word and you say, Satan, your fiery darts can't hurt me anymore because I've got my shield. And then you take the word as the sword as well. It's the sword and it's the shield. And you say, Satan, do you know what? You're the one who's going down. You're the one who's the loser in this. You're the one who is going to be ashamed. I mean, think about it. All week, the devil's trying to say to me, you're going to stand up. All those people there wanting to hear from God. See, I didn't really care about me looking silly. Didn't care for 1 minute. Wasn't about that. They were full of expectation. The amount of just, I mean, wasn't it that Ruth was with me in Dubai and they were just so waiting for what God was going to do in their midst. And you see, so the enemy was trying to say to me, you're going to stand there with a microphone and they're not going to even be able to hear you. But you see, God gets the glory. I don't know what trial or difficulty, what breakthrough you need, but what I do know is that God wants you to position yourself for victory, to position yourself in order that God can come through strong on your behalf. Would you stand to your feet, please? Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Right now, if you have identified, as I've been talking, about some habitual responses in your heart, we're going to just deal with it straight away. You know, yesterday, my ear started to hurt at about 3 o'clock. And then at about 6 o'clock, I suddenly felt very, very weak, like all the strength draining out of me again. And my first response was to go, oh, not fair. And I remembered. I said, I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you. Sickness is not my portion. I am strong. I am well.